Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected educational systems worldwide. The global lockdown of institutions caused major disruptions in students' way of learning and forced higher education to undergo drastic changes. Universities have had to quickly switch over to online classes. Also affected have been mature learners who are holding down full-time jobs. In fact, lifelong learning, which we all know is a necessity and not a when I have time type of thing anymore, has had to embrace this new way of learning. The much coveted skill of agility and adaptability now extends to the way we learn. For more insights, we speak to Wendy Tan, co-founder of the Flame Center. Wendy, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Howie. Great to speak to you again.
So talk to us about why agile learning is essential in the future of work.
Yes, as we know, COVID has just accelerated the adoption of technology. Now, increasingly, we need new skills to work alongside machines, right? And then we also need to add values in ways that machines and algorithms cannot, right? So this has meant that we really need to pick up different skills in order to contribute, in order to, you know, stay relevant and employable for the decades in our careers.
Say in the aspect of learning, what does agile learning mean, or agility in learning? Just the adaptability to how lessons are conducted now, what else is there?
Yeah, this whole term about agile learning means that we are able to pick things up quickly and effectively. And sometimes there are no clear solutions, right? Just as we are dealing with real problems, like new problems, just like this pandemic has put out. And therefore, we need to learn how to learn. We need to find new solutions quickly, right? And therefore, you know, this agility in our learning, right, is the ability to find new solutions when there is not an existing one, right? And it also requires us to take a step back, right? Almost like from a third person perspective, to look at, you know, what is it we need to learn in this situation? You know, what are the new skills required? To also know the why of the learning, how does learning this new skill really help us solve the business problem, you know, at organizational level, but also help me to stay relevant as a professional, right? So that's the why. And then the how of learning is most interesting, because most people think of learning as lessons and, you know, attending workshops, but really the how of learning is so much more expensive than that. I interviewed career switchers who have had to pick up new skills because of a shift in their career. And just the way they take ownership of their learning, you know, and beyond just like attending workshops, it's also, you know, finding mentors, getting into communities that they can learn from continuously, you know, creating a context for them to apply their learning and then to get feedback quickly on their learning. So all that is the how of learning that I think, you know, many of us miss out when we look at, you know, how we can learn agilely.
Were those challenging for working professionals in their learning? We all know some of the challenges that have always been. It's hard, full-time job, also learning. It's a time management thing. But those new challenges that you just mentioned, the finding a mentor, the figuring out whether or not what you're learning will apply to the job that you're in. And then the job is now changing too.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, as you alluded to, for working professionals, the time, right? Time to learn is one big thing. Yet at the same time, I also want to challenge this thinking, because whether we have time is a function of our priorities. To what extent do we think that learning is really important and critical for us at work? Because if it's important, we'll make time. So I think a part of it is creating the context for learning, that the motivation for learning. And I think that's what that is missing sometimes. And, you know, as we know with Singapore, we have Skills Future Movement. We have, but I don't know, like, to what extent Singaporeans or, you know, have used these credits to help us in our learning. So perhaps the motivation for learning is one key challenge, right? And then the other challenge is also, even when you have the motivation for learning, it's also like what to learn, because there's so much. Yeah, how do we prioritize our learning so that we learn this skill just in time that will help us, so that we will also get on to the application? Having to learn something and to apply it straight away really accelerates our learning. The motivation as not knowing what to learn. And I think the third one don't know how to learn.
Yeah,
and to put together our learning strategy, our learning map, you know, beyond attending a workshop, most people just stop there. Like learning is a process, it's a cycle from attending a workshop to reflecting deeply about what it means. How might I need to change my assumptions, the way I think about the issues? And then, you know, to create a context, the application. Yeah, so that, you know, I can try things out quickly. And then getting feedback from others on how am I doing so that I can tweak, right? And what's good, what's not good.
We're speaking with Wendy Tan, who's the co-founder of The Flame Center. Wendy, do you think there's a step-by-step way of doing this? I know that makes me sound exactly like a non-agile learner in that I want to have things in this rote fashion, if you will. But it sounds like we might need to take a few steps back and really learn how to learn first.
Yeah. In fact, what you're talking about, this step-by-step approach, there is a step-by-step approach because that's like our map, right? And we call this the metacognitive ability. It's just a fancy phrase for saying learning how to learn. Number one is we want to take stock in our career, where we are. What are our strengths? What's important in our career? And then what are the future skills needed, right? We always need to look at the future and then figure out what is it that we need, right? And then the second step is to then look at where are we now? What are our existing skills inventory? And what is the gap? And so from there, looking at what's needed and where we are now, we can then identify like what's our learning focus. With identifying our learning focus, then the next step is to then clearly to go and identify your learning resources, your learning strategies, you know, whether it's workshops, whether it's mentors or communities or getting support from your manager. And then the next step is then, you know, to embark on it, right? As Lao just said, right, it says that the journey of 1,000 steps begins with the first one. Yeah. And so that is taking the actions in terms of the learning, the reflection, the application, and getting feedback, you know, so that is that learning process.
Wendy, given what's happened, it feels like learning for self-edification might be a luxury at this point. Some people are grappling to switch careers, even industries. How can organizations help in this regard then? The conditions at the workplace that might help as well?
Yeah. I think one key thing is to see learning and solving problems and being successful, you know, in implementing the business, new business strategy. All these are interrelated. So, for example, with COVID, right, we've had to do things differently, and therefore we need to find new ways, right? Just like, you know, we are now doing the recording on Zoom instead of in the past when we were face to face. And this is just an example of how we're doing things differently. And therefore, we've had to learn, you know, new ways of I've had to learn how to engage my audience on a virtual platform, right? And and also to in this sense, right, we have the what we call the learning rich jobs, right? Jobs that require us to learn, right? And if they are not like the you know, the day in, day out, we are doing the same thing, right? So in terms of one key thing that organizations can do to help our employees, right, is to create jobs that that requires them to do new things, to find new solutions, and that has space for their learning. So then that creates a natural context for learning. And, you know, and I think what organizations tend to do is to, you know, have lots of, like, you know, whether it's workshops or content libraries, you know, we give our employees lots of content libraries because, like, there's so much resources these days, but the context for us in applying our learning is not as strong, right? So I think that's where organizations can do something different. And I think the other thing that organizations can do is to build a learning culture, right? Make it easy for people to consult others, right? Somebody from a different department, or, you know, make it easy for people to get feedback from others, you know, a feedback-rich culture. And oftentimes when you do something, you know, people shy away from giving feedback, but the feedback could be really useful for our learning. So you know, how can we create this feedback-rich culture? And also for people to just share their learning. You know, so it's again the space, right? The space, the time for people to share what they have read. How can they apply what their new learning is? So I think these are all examples of a learning culture at work.
Wendy, thank you so much for your insights and stay safe.
All right, thank you.
Wendy Tan, co-founder of the Flame Center. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.